Farm Talk on C103 with Dairygold Prime Elite Rumi Force Calf Cube. Maximize calf performance and health at grass by optimizing the function of the rumen.
Welcome to the Dairygold Farm Talk programme with John O'Connor. Later in the programme, helping ease the impact of weather on agriculture. Liam Stack, Dairygold, outlines the concept regarding fodder stretch. Dairygold Cooperative Society, our sponsor, released their 2023 financial trading figures. Finbar O'Shea, manager, Bantry Credit Union, on National Cultivate Week. Dairygold, our sponsor, delivers a solid performance in 2023 in what had been a challenging year in 2023 and remains well placed for continued sustainable growth. Dairygold Cooperative Society Limited has announced its financial results for 2023. Two particular highlights in the delivery of Our Strategy, Our Future 2030 were the acquisition of a major shareholding in Vita Actives Limited and the rollout of the Dairygold Grassroots Milk Supplier Sustainability Bonus Programme, which confirms the deep commitment of our milk suppliers to sustainability and the future of milk production in our region. In 2023, Dairygold recorded a turnover of €1.4 billion, a decrease of €254.7 million versus 2022, primarily reflecting the significant fall in market returns over the course of 2023. The profitability delivered was also lower than 2022, with an EBITDA of €55 million and an operating profit of €23.9 million. A decrease of €13.5 million and €16.3 million, respectively, a reflection of the board's decision to pay strong milk and grain prices, minimising the impact on reduced farm margins. Commenting on the results, Dairygold Interim Chief Executive Mr. Michael Hart said, quote, 2023 was a difficult year for the dairy and tillage sectors, as market returns declined significantly from the unprecedented highs of 2022. Unfavourable weather conditions, combined with continued high input and processing costs, created a perfect storm for farmers and processors alike. As a farmer-owned cooperative, Dairygold responded by paying strong milk and grain prices to suppliers. Overall, the society delivered a satisfactory financial performance in 2023, with all businesses delivering to expectations. Dairy Ireland business operated in a very challenging environment in 2023, with significantly lower dairy market returns, reduced milk volumes and inflationary pressures. During the year, Dairygold processed 1.41 billion litres of milk, a 4.7% decrease, equating to 70 million litres year on year. Dairygold agribusiness faced a number of challenges in 2023, with the sale of feed and fertiliser being negatively impacted by reduced on-farm margins and sustainability concerns, while retail sales, despite negative consumer sentiment, were generally in line with 2022. Dairygold's grain growers, despite difficult weather conditions, successfully delivered over 106,000 tonnes of quality grain and beans to Dairygold and received a strong grain price from Dairygold. Dairygold chairman, Mr. Sean O'Brien, commenting on the 2023 results, said, quote, 23 saw the society deliver a strong performance despite the numerous challenges, including weather, high input costs, the reduction in the nitrates derogation and addressing the sustainability challenges. These challenges were met head-on by our members and the business, and Dairygold is in a strong operational and financial position to continue to sustainably grow both the business and members' enterprises. Speaking following the National Fodder and Food Security Committee meeting, the IFA President, Francie Gorman, said the introduction of the transport subsidy scheme to assist farmers who are having difficulty accessing fodder was a good step. Francie Gorman said the scheme needs to be flexible in terms of the application process and it has to allow for the speedy transfer of fodder, native grain in stores, to where it's needed most. At the meeting, the IFA raised the importance of the department meeting all farm schemes' payment deadlines and extending the nitrates deadline to free up advisory resources in Chagask and agricultural consultancy firms. Francis Gorman also said the banks and credit unions should adopt maximum flexibility with their customers to ensure they can face any cash flow challenges. Francis Gorman, IFA president, said, quote, many dry stock farmers are absorbing significantly higher costs because of the prolonged wet weather, and they will need support in the coming months to get back on their feet. He said officers in the IFA's network of 940 branches across the nation were working locally to provide whatever support was needed for their neighbours locally. He said he would encourage farmers to play their part by keeping an eye out for fellow farmers and neighbours during this critical time. Part of a statement there from the IFA National President, Mr. Francis Gorman. Details of St. Chagas helpline numbers, two helpline numbers to provide services to farmers and assistance where necessary have been published by Chagas. They are the Chagas National Crops Helpline. That's Crops Helpline 059-918-3533. That's the Chagas National Crops Helpline 059-918-3533. And the National Grassland Helpline being run by Chagas is 059-918-3155. Livestock farmers should stay in touch with tillage farmers to see if their needs can be met in any way. The Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association National President, Mr. Sean McNamara, said Minister McConlough must act immediately to support farmers who are suffering enormously, both mentally and financially, due to the persistent bad weather. Sean McNamara said, quote, farmers across the country are facing immense challenges as a result of the severe wet weather conditions, with both their mental and financial well-being at stake. The minister, Mr. McNamara said, needs to listen to farmers and he needs to offer support now. For low-income beef, sheep, suckler and tillage farmers in particular, it's hard to keep everything ticking over at the best of times, but at the moment it's proving to be next to impossible. Mr. McNamara said, fodder reserves are depleting at an alarming rate and the financial strain is mounting. Farmers, he said, had shown great resilience up to this point, but that resilience is waning now. Mr. McNamara said the situation is made even worse by what he claimed had been the refusal of the Department of Agriculture to offer farmers financial support so far. And quote, Sean McNamara, he said, farmers feel abandoned at the moment. The prolonged winter and financial strain have pushed many farmers to their breaking point. Mr. McNamara said, there are a lot of stressed farmers out there and many are feeling a sense of hopelessness. Mr. McNamara was urging the minister to try and do all he could to help farmers. Farmers need help and they need it now, as well as urgent financial aid for the purchase of meal and transportation of fodder. Mr. McNamara also called on the Minister McConlough to expedite the release of all outstanding farm scheme payments. And quote, he said, at the very least, the Minister needs to ensure that any outstanding payments to farmers will be expedited. Any monies owed to farmers must be paid without what he called any more excuses. Part of a long statement there from the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association, ICSA President, Mr. Sean McNamara. Joining us on the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Mr. Liam Stack, Ruminant Technical Manager, Dairy Gold Cooperative Society, Agri Division. First of all, Liam, welcome to the programme. Now, we've had a wet week for sure with a broken weather forecast. Cows are still housed. Silage stocks are getting tighter. What can farmers do to stretch the silage they have?
Hello, John. Hello to all your listeners and thanks very much for having me on the show again. I suppose, John, yes, there are options out there and I would urge any farmer under pressure that's feeling the strain to ask for staff for help. There is advice that can be given around stretching fodder. The forecast is improving. Okay, look, there is rain given over the next 2 days, but temperatures are higher and ground will dry out hopefully soon. So we need, I suppose, as a priority to try and get our cows out to grass and try to get them to graze, you know, when they can. Walk the farm, assess the ground covers, walk the farm twice daily if needed, and get your cows to graze the driest fields with the lowest covers and try to get a little bit of grass into your cows where possible. Secondly, there is silage moving around the roads and on the countryside, and there's silage available to buy. And thirdly, within Dairy Gold, we have introduced a fodder stretcher ration that's available at a discounted price that can be used in lieu of any silage or grass that you don't currently have.
The fodder stretch might be an option which a lot of people would take up, but Liam, can we say how much silage the fodder stretch would replace? Any idea of the actual silage volume the fodder stretch would replace?
Well, I suppose, John, it can replace quite a bit of silage, nearly up to 50% of your cow's intake of silage. And it's how much it will replace depends on how much you feed. But a kilo of fodder stretcher can replace 5 kilos fresh weight of silage. And 5 kilos fresh weight is equivalent to about 12.5% of the silage that your cow would be eating on a daily basis. So if you were to give her 2 kilos of the fodder stretcher, you would drop her silage intake by 25%. If you were to give her 4 kilos of fodder stretcher, you would drop her silage intake by 50%. Now that's quite a lot of concentrate, but it can be done. So to drop the silage intake of 100 cow herd by 25%, you need to feed about 200 kilos of additional concentrate daily. And that will save a farmer somewhere between a bale and a quarter and a bale and a half of silage on a daily basis.
How much silage does a cow need to actually keep in her diet, Liam?
That's a very good question, John, and it's something that we've been asked about on a daily basis and multiple times across the day. And I suppose the cow has a minimum forage requirement that's essential for her to maintain rumen function. And where forage is tight and concentrates or that forage stretcher is of good value, the minimum amount of forage that a cow needs to eat is about 1% of her body weight. For a 600 kilo cow, she needs to eat a minimum of 6 kilos dry matter roughage, and that is tight now. And for that reason, you need to keep an eye on your cow's butter fat. And if you go too strong on the concentrate proportion of her diet, your cow's butter fat will start to crash. So judge your sweet spot by looking at your protein and butter fat content of your milk.
Pulling all of this together in a practical way, what should a farmer be feeding to replace 50% of the silage she's eating?
So the average milking cow is milking about 25 litres at present. If she's on the average silage, which is 68 DMD silage, she'll be getting currently, or should be getting, about 8 kilos of concentrate to meet her energy demand. And that will leave her eating about 40 kilos of silage daily. Now, if you want to replace 50% of her silage, you'll need to give her an additional 4 kilos of the fodder stretcher as a midday feed. And this will drop her silage intake by somewhere between 40 and 50%. Now, bear in mind, this is borderline on the minimum amount of forage that she requires. If you have straw in your yard, make it available and keep an eye on your cow's butter fat levels, because your cow's butter fat levels are an indication of how much forage you need to feed your cow and whether you're gone over the top.
And, Liam, to remind listeners that Dairy Gold have a fodder stretcher ration that's available at a discounted price that can be used in lieu of silage or grass you don't have.
You can alternatively replace the forage that your cow would be eating with a ration. And we put a fodder stretcher ration in place, which is based around digestible fibre raw materials, which is reasonably safe for a cow to eat at a high level. And we put it in at a discounted price. So it's costing €255 a tonne. And it can be used in your yard if you're short the silage to make up the silage that you're short.
Listeners who require assistance should liaise with their local Dairy Gold sales team.
We are all very aware of the fact it's been a tough spring. There's a lot of pressure at farm level. Individual farmers are under a lot of pressure when it comes to, you know, the amount of workload happening at farm level, seeing silage pits getting emptier, you know, forecasts with more rain on a daily basis. And we're aware of the stresses and strains that are happening at farm level. And if anybody needs any help with anything from a fodder budget to a diet or just for someone to talk to, be sure and talk to your local Dairy Gold personnel.
Thank you, Liam. Mr. Liam Stack, Ruminant Technical Manager, Dairy Gold Cooperative Society, Agribusiness. Thanks, Liam. Joining us on the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Mr. Finbar O'Shea, Manager of Bantry Credit Union. First of all, Finbar, welcome to the programme. Now, at the moment, a very important week is taking place. We're going into a very important week. Would you please remind our listeners what exactly this week is and tell us something about the Cultivate programme?
John, I will, of course. So this is what we're calling National Cultivate Week, and I'll explain Cultivate in a moment. It's a farm loan offering, farm loan product from credit unions nationwide. But the purpose of this week is really to draw attention to and to promote the availability of Cultivate loans to the farming community. So there have been a lot of radio interviews done throughout the week in different local radio stations, including now obviously me with you on C103. Joe Healy, who you know, John, former president of the IFA. Joe is the chairperson of Cultivate nationally, and he's been doing a lot of radio interviews on our behalf as well. But the real purpose, and credit unions around the country are, you know, engaging in their communities with their coffee mornings in some cases, or different events, social media promotions and the like, is coming on the back of the publication of our Cultivate Review for 2023.
Speaking to Mr. Finbar O'Shea, manager of Bantry Credit Union, discussing the Cultivate Week. Finbar, could you please remind our listeners about some of the figures regarding the amount of money being loaned to farmers as contained in your 2023 report? Some idea of the extent to which farmers are now borrowing for progress on their farms.
So to explain Cultivate itself in the first instance, I suppose, and then to lead on to some numbers about its success and its popularity in recent years. So Cultivate is a credit union farm loan offering. It's an unsecured loan. So we don't have a hold on assets, either land or machinery. There's no lease arrangements if we're funding, maybe it's farm machinery or the like. So it's an unsecured loan up to a maximum of €75,000, up with a duration of up to 10 years. And with an interest rate of 6.55%, which is really very competitive, has been for the past few years, but in particular, it's becoming more competitive because with the rising interest rate environment in Europe, which of course is then passed on by financial institutions to their borrowers, we use one member's savings to become another member's loans. Therefore, our interest rate at 6.55%, we're very confident it will be remaining at that rate, despite rising interest rates. In terms of the demand, it has increased. It has doubled, in fact, in the past 2 years to over 50 million last year, 2023. There are 53 credit unions around the country with 170 offices or credit union branches which offer Cultivate loan. And the reason I emphasise that is because for us, the key to the success of Cultivate is that we have three simple truisms or mantras. Keep it simple, keep it local, and keep it personal. And that's the kind of those are the guides by which we operate. When we say keep it simple, we don't overcomplicate things. In credit unions, we try to keep life simple. Life doesn't need to be made any more complicated than it has to be. So, for instance, we have a one-page fact find, which we ask the farmer to complete, or we will even complete it with him or her. Of course, we need financial documentation to underwrite a loan, but that's kept to a bare minimum, or to get to keeping it simple. By keeping it local, we mean, and that's essential to everything in credit unions, we are local organisations embedded in our communities. So a person dealing, a farmer dealing with a credit union, whether it's Access in Skibbereen or Bantry or Macroom now, which is also offering Cultivate, everything happens at the local level. You're never dealing with somebody in a remote location in a head office in Dublin or even Cork City. It's always about the local. And the last point I would make there is to keep it personal. It's always about a personal relationship. Again, it's a one-to-one. It's the direct personal relationship. And that's what we have found. We hold meetings with farmers, stakeholder groups around the country when new credit unions are joining Cultivate. But what we find always in the feedback since we began in 2017 is the desire among farmers for a relationship which is straightforward, which is person, which is about a person to person, sitting down, talking about their farm, explaining their need, and just seeing it through with that person. That's always the key. That's more important to them than the interest rate, which might sound funny when I'm talking about farmers.
Are there strict limitations on what a credit union loan can be used for on your farm? Are there restrictions on how the loan should be used?
They're used for any farming purpose. So it could range from a stocking loan through to farm buildings, either repairs or construction, possibly in conjunction with a TAMS grant, machinery, vehicles, tractors, land reclamation, modernisation works on the farm. So literally from a need to pay a feed bill of 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 euros, right up to 75,000 to do significant farm improvement work, and any amount in between for any legitimate farm purpose.
Now, as regards loans, have you any idea of the average loan? If we could pick an average loan, we know the dairy sector and a beef sector. If we had to compare the average loan application from a dairy farmer vis-a-vis a loan for a beef farmer, what would the relative figures be, approximately, in round terms even?
Sure, John, and this won't surprise your listeners that dairy is a more capital-intensive farming enterprise probably than beef. So the average farm to a dairy farmer is about 41,000-42,000, and the average loan to a beef farmer is about 30,000. The average overall across the cultivated loan book in 2023 is 33,000 euros. Now, I would say on that, and again, this won't surprise your listeners in West Cork, the majority of loan applicants, farmer applicants, are beef. So about 70% of cultivate loans are for beef farmers. About 20-odd% is for dairy, and the balance is made up with maybe tillage or some other smaller farm enterprises or different purpose enterprises.
Looking at your 2023 Credit Union Cultivate programme, it seems May is a very busy month for people looking for loans, or was in 23 anyway.
Yes, May tends to be a busy month. It's throughout the year, really, John. I mean, and as you and your listeners will know, at different times of the year, farms will have different needs and loan purposes. My mind goes back to about 18 months ago, the winter before last, just before Christmas and into the spring of 2023, when there was the huge escalation in feed prices. So we did a bit of it in the depth of the winter months to say to farming members that we're here for you. If you have an urgent need, come and talk to us now. Heading into the spring or into May, it's going to be more planned farm development work. As you said, there at the outset yourself, where farmers have planned to do farm improvement works, reclamation works, roadways, and the like. So I suppose really it's throughout, there are a couple of peaks within the year, but what often happens is you'll see that the different loan purposes have a different peak, if I can put it that way, at different times in the year.
To apply for a Cultivate loan, Finbar, would you have to have built up a savings record with the credit union?
That's an important point we've tried to get across in the last 4 or 5 years. So like all businesses, there can be perceptions, misperceptions about some sectors, and farming community would have had a misunderstanding of credit unions in the way that credit unions hadn't really explained ourselves to farmers back in the day, if I can put it like that. So a lot of people who don't know credit unions and don't use credit unions might have a sense that, you have to have a long established track record with a credit union, you have to save for a minimum period of time, and all of those kinds of barriers to getting access to credit, if I could put it like that. So what we're emphasising is that's not the case at all nowadays. That was the case once upon a time, but it's not the case anymore. So if, for instance, through publicity during this week, if there are farmers throughout West Cork who, have a need for credit now, and they were thinking of going, wherever it was they were thinking of going to, what I'm encouraging them to do is to contact their local credit union. And that credit union, be it in Skibbereen or Bantry or Macroom, Castletown Bear, Skull, Bandon, all of those towns are offering Cultivate through the three credit unions. The credit union will sit down with them and explain what it is, give a quotation, talk about the documentation that's needed, and if it's progressing, then that farmer would join. He would have to open an account, obviously, at that point, but he doesn't need an established track record with the credit union. It can begin on day one.
But many farmers are turning to Cultivate for what I understand you would call working capital loans to get through this current very, very difficult crisis period.
We do, John, and this really, I suppose, is the second year in a row where we've had a focus on that kind of finance. So, as I said, it was the feed, the increase in the price of feed in spring 12 months ago, and now it's the weather, as you say. So it could be, so what we would provide is the speed with which we'll do it, John. I think that's the main difference. So if somebody's a farmer is finding himself that there's an immediate need now, then if he contacts his local, he or she contacts the local credit union, like, you could be talking about getting access to finance, drawing down that loan, like, literally within days, if they're not a member, and within 1 or 2 days, if they're an existing member and have an account in a credit union. I think I'd like to emphasise one other point, though, around that, where you've raised the issue of, you know, the terrible weather and the pressure that creates in terms of, you know, getting animal out, or getting animals out, or the additional costs associated with it. What we would emphasise always, and I'm now thinking of farmers who have cultivate loans, if there are pressures on repayment, like, it's an old truism in credit unions, like, credit unions are at their best in times of adversity. So, like, if there's an issue with repayment, if a farmer's grants are delayed, if the weather is really, we just work with people. It's what we do at a local level in credit unions. We work with people all the time. So I'd emphasise both in terms of access to credit at the moment, if circumstances are difficult and there's a need, but equally, when that farmer either currently has a loan or in the future were to have a loan with the credit union, if there are pinch points, if there's a bit of pressure comes on any time during the year, just pick up the phone and the credit union will always work with them.
I understand if the borrower passes away before the loan is fully discharged, then in that respect, the family or the survivors are covered by a certain kind of insurance if the borrower passes away.
You're absolutely right, John, and it is one of the key, and some people, when they find out, don't champion that enough, we don't promote it enough. So it's a standard feature of all credit union loans, because we must remember that a credit union is a financial cooperative. A credit union is a community-owned financial co-op owned by its members in those communities. So given that that's our owners, given that that's the people we're employed to serve, there has always been, it goes back 40-plus years, an insurance product called Loan Protection Insurance. Every credit union takes out this insurance and we effectively insure our loan book. And the phrase always was, if I die, my loan dies with me. So the peace of mind that you're talking about there for family farms, and it's not just farming, obviously, it's all our borrowers, but specifically talking about the family farmers now. In the event of, unfortunately, that very unfortunate event happening, that the farmer dies, the reassurance to that family, whatever else they're having to deal with at that time, with their credit union loan will be cleared by an insurance policy. As you say, there are terms and conditions around it, but it's fair to say, it's stronger than that. We almost don't issue the loan. They're always insured, is really what I'm trying to get at. You can say almost unqualified that if a farmer takes a cultivate loan, in the event of that farmer dying, it will be cleared by our insurance policy, which we have paid the premium for. The level of documentation and information we require is relatively straightforward. So it will be the most recent 2 years farm accounts, most recent 2 years revenue notice of assessment, some bank statements, the Department of Agriculture annual payment statement, and a tax clearance cert. So you can probably already imagine a lot of that will come from an accountant. Typically, it will come from an accountant. But in my experience of offering and dealing with farmers over the last 5 to 6 years on cultivate, is they generally love to come in and sit down, because farmers are intensely proud. And this is what I've learned. They're intensely proud of their enterprises and what they're doing. So a farmer wants to explain what they need the money for. So we would sit down, have the chat about what the loan purpose is. I'd ask some questions around the size of the farm holding, you know, what machinery do they have, that kind of stuff, other borrowings. And then they would often ask, as you indicated there, they would often then get their accountant to send us on the financial documentation. So we usually deal with the farmer. We always deal with the farmer anyway. And then probably get the supporting documentation from their accountant.
Thank you, Finbar, for your very valuable time. Mr. Finbar O'Shea, manager of Bantry Credit Union, talking to our listeners about the Credit Union's National Cultivate Week, 8th of April to 14th of April, 2024. Thank you, Finbar, very much indeed. Thanks a million. Joining us on the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Mr. Fergal O'Mahony, Discussion Group Facilitator, Chagas Dairy Gold Joint Programme Advisory Office, Chagas Moor Park, Fermoy. First of all, Fergal, welcome to the programme. You have a full programme of upcoming events starting 16th of April with the Chagas Dairy Gold Joint Programme Farm Walks. You might please remind our listeners the dates, venues and topics for discussion at these upcoming events.
Yeah, the joint programme farm walks that are coming up, there's three spring walks coming up. So the first one, it will be on Tuesday the 16th of April at 11 a.m. It is on the farm of Joe Morrissey, Rostell and Middleton, and it is P25Y314. So that's Tuesday the 16th. And then for people west of the city, there's one on Thursday the 18th of April at 11 a.m. and that's on the farm of Raymond Goggin, Temple Martin, Bandon, and that's P72DF10. The third one then, which is a bit later, to be Tuesday the 23rd, so it is a week after the first one, it is on again at 11 o'clock and it's on the farm of Tim O'Riordan, Mornabby Mallow, and that's your code is P51Y8D5. And at these meetings, the topics discussed, obviously the current situation, which is very difficult, but that will be covered at those meetings, and the breeding guidelines for 2024, the appropriate farm stocking rate on farms with these new limits and everything. It's just gone through the appropriate farm stocking rates, and then there'll be a bit on 2024 nutrient management on farms. So there are the three Chagas Dairy Gold Joint Programme farm walks there for April.
That sounds a fine altogether, very interesting and very informative potentially for people who go along. Now, I understand there's also a very important spring grass walk. It doesn't really conflict with what you've announced. It's a spring grazing management 2024 event on 17th of April. Would you please remind us when and where this is taking place, this spring grass walk 17th of April?
Yes, the spring grass walk that this one is organised for, it's a beef farm it's on, so it is different than the dairy farm, so it is a beef spring grass farm walk. It's on the 17th of April and the time it's starting at 6 p.m, so just be aware of the start time for us. And to that, on the farm of Robert Lyons, Ned, and the air code for that is P51DK64. So what will be discussed there, it's as part of the Grass 10 programme, and what will be discussed there is grazing management in light of the difficult spring conditions, fertiliser advice for grazing and silage for 2024, and establishing and managing grass clover swards, so there'll be a bit on that as well. So there'll be a good bit of information there for beef farmers, so we'll be encouraging people to attend, and it's the 17th of April at 6 p.m.
If you had to give just an overview of the current situation on farms vis-a-vis grazing conditions, fodder, meal feeding rates, grazing fertiliser, silage fertiliser too. So just an overview of the current situation on farms as perceived by Chagas, getting the feedback from a wide range of people in the sector.
Yes, Jan, we'll be involved with a lot of discussion groups, and we'll be encouraging people to go to the discussion groups. There's been great attendance at the discussion groups in these difficult weather conditions, and people are getting help from one another, and it's good to get out and meeting people as well. So we'll be encouraging people to make that social contact. But the conditions are extremely difficult at the moment. Some farms aren't as bad as others. They could have 80-90% of their first round grazing done, a bit of damage done, but they've a lot of grass got into cows, whereas a lot of more people might have only 25-30% grazed, and even some heavy farms have very little grazing altogether done. So it would be trying to encourage people to make use of the grass, but obviously the weather hopefully will improve. We've been saying that it'll improve for a good bit, but hopefully will improve. I suppose the big help that is there, if it did improve, there's a lot of grass out on farms. So, we're giving advice to people to make use of their grass, but if you can't get out, cows obviously have to be housed and fed accordingly if they have to be kept in. But try and get out, the grass is out there, and as regards the fodder situation, you know, a lot of people have kind of the week, 10 days of fodder is what you would hear people talking about, and you know, hopefully the thing would have sorted by then. But there's others that are just have that week, 10 days is up, and they're trying to source fodder, and a lot of cases they're able to source it locally, and it would be encouraging anyone that needs to get fodder to try and source some locally, you know, even if you don't end up using it, it will be there, you know, just make sure you try and get out and get some fodder, and you know, don't be afraid to inquire off people locally if there is fodder available or not. And spring of 2018 was another difficult spring, and you know, people got very worked up that they go looking for fodder, but you know, people are only there to help you in those situations. And what has come out there in the last few days is just the government or the department have come out with a scheme that they'll help fund the transport of fodder. It's to be worked through the co-op. Co-ops are to be working through it. So it's, you know, there's quite a distance that the fodder's to travel, but you know, if you in the next few days, there will be a lot more detail on that scheme available to people, and we'll be able to work through it with you. But the co-ops are the main people organising that fodder situation. But hopefully it won't be as serious as it was other years. But yes, where people need aid, there is aid there for them to get that fodder onto their farms.
So there are people there to help you, Fergal, through your co-op or Chagaskin. Keep in touch with the other people who will help you, who are in position vis-a-vis the organisation of this help. Now, we look at breeding, the emphasis on breeding. Now, there will be various sectors there again. We look perhaps at the pre-breeding focus on farms, the actual start of the breeding season, heifer synchronisation programme, sex semen, dairy sires and beef sires, the dairy beef index, commercial beef index, and the ICBF sire advice. Now, a tremendous amount of headings there, but you might give an overview of the emphasis on breeding at the moment.
Yeah, sure. At the moment, it's difficult to get people involved in the pre-breeding focus on farms, but you know, usually the 3 weeks before your start-up days of breeding, people will be observing the cows to see are they all breeding. What some would do is have tailpent the cows, and obviously with all the rain this there isn't any great help for keeping it on, but to tailpent the cows to see in 3 weeks' time which ones haven't come bulling, and they'll be able to get their vits to check them at that stage. More will go down the route of that they'd hold tough until the start of the breeding days, and put a huge emphasis on that first 3 weeks of breeding and work it out. What I would say as regards the start of breeding days, you know, a lot of cows now have become very compact calving, and just be aware of when the calving started this year. A lot of people started in a nice time and they were happy with that date, and just if you do start, just for argument's sake, the 24th of April, a lot of time the predicted calving date of those cows will be down towards the 1st of February, but they actually do start calving that bit sooner. So usually whatever day in April you'd start, if it's the 24th, to be 24th of January, they'd start calving. So it's just to be aware of that. As about the other new thing that's there from a pre-breeding focus point of view is collars. A lot of people have collars or they've boluses in the cows or ear tags, giving them information as to activity of cows, and just they're very handy there. You're not looking at having to go down the route of tail paint or anything. It gives you great information from a pre-breeding point of view, and again spot the cows that haven't come bowling and get your vet to have a look at them. So that's on the pre-breeding side and the start of your breeding season. There's the heifer synchronisation programme to just make people aware. A good few people do it. It's an 8-day programme. It involves just different GNRH and the PRID install and put into the animals, and then 2 shots of prostaglandin and another shot of GNRH. What you're looking at there after that 8-day period, when you do give the second shot of GNRH, you can, from a conventional semen point of view, bull the heifers or inseminate them at that stage. It's just a word of warning. People, if they're using sex semen on those heifers, it's 6 to 8 hours after that injection of GNRH is when you have to do them. But people have been using that system now for a number of years and are very happy with it. The main thing, though, is to make sure that the heifers are in and around the target waist, that whole system of getting them to come bulling and breeding wise with the different interventions. It needs the heifer to be the target weight to have success with them. So that's that heifer synchronization program.
Again, you've touched on tremendous amount of things there, but also on our, we say, agenda, the breeding agenda would be dairy sires and beef sires, and the dairy beef index and commercial beef index and the ICBF sire advice. I don't know, you've been very attentive, giving us so much information, but if you touched on those things I've just mentioned, even a brief overview would be much appreciated. It's a tremendous load of information we're looking for.
Yeah, and the dairy sires, there, you know, I would say to people is there's an economic, or an EBI, economic breeding index, is what it's called. From a dairy point of view, you have one for your own farm, and definitely the most important page you'll print out of the ICBF. Just print off your own one, see where your herd is and what your production you're getting from them, and then any figure that's on that, any dairy sire you're looking for, can be matched up to improve those figures you have. So from different, some people will have very good EBI figures, more poorer ones, but you can improve it no end by picking dairy sires that are suitable to your herd. And no matter which company you're with, there's a hell of a lot of dairy sires there, whether you use conventional semen or sick semen. It's a big improvement for your own herd, and it's important that you check it off against your own herd. But the thing that's just getting a bit more popular nowadays, of old, we used to breed an awful lot of Friesian and with sick semen, is the amount of lesser Friesian bull calves. So as a result, then you're looking at beef, a lot more beef being bred out of the dairy herd. And, you know, from beef farmers that are out there, they're very happy to see this happening, that they're suddenly getting better quality calves. And the thing that, from a dairy point of view, we're encouraging people to look at is what's called the dairy beef index. That gives you an idea, is the bull you're using short gestation, which you like to have in your dairy herd, and these relatively easy calving. So that gives you a good information there, the dairy beef index side of it. The commercial beef value then is the other part of that index, is the beef sub-index of it. And that's just making sure you're picking a bull that's giving you good value. And from a commercial beef value point of view, you're looking at calves, hopefully, that will be on hitting the ground that are 100 plus for that value. It means they'll finish quicker, they'll have better carcass, and that they'll have nicer shape to them. And as well as that, people will be able to pick calves, they'll know what genetics are in the calves they're buying, whereas of old it would be just visually, and granted you might be okay visually, but I think this commercial beef value will be a big benefit to beef farmers and to be a big help to people to make use of that, especially on the dairy side. A lot of dairy people would argue, oh God, look, sure, I need to cut the calf, but we need to look at the beef industry to keep encouraging people to rear these calves because they're of value to the national herd, is what we're looking at. And just finally, then, the ICBF sire advice, now when you've all the decisions made on your picking out, you can put in your dairy sires into the ICBF sire advice, so you can have picked out what cows you want, put beef on and pick the bulls for them. And that sire advice will run until give you three Friesian bulls that will suit the cow that you've picked to go using dairy AI on. Likewise, the beef sire to link up that animal as well. And you can save all those to the handheld of your technician, so he'll have options when he does come out to your farm to inseminate your cows. So that's the breeding side of things, John.
Now, could we round up with some more vital information? Application deadlines. There's one in April, one in May or more. Perhaps you might give us an overview of the bare outline of very important approaching application deadlines in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, the deadlines are there. I suppose the derogation one, a lot of people will be aware of that one. It was extended to the 19th of April is when the deadline for that is, so people are aware of that one. There is another one there that has, you know, it's been sent out to people, but it hasn't been pushed as much as the dairy banding, where, you know, last year you had to declare what yield your cows are on, and as a result it'd give you the nitrogen value of the cows, whether they were 92 kilos of nitrogen per cow or 106 kilos of nitrogen per cow. That has to be done again this year. You know, just because you put it in last year, it's again, you have to declare it this year. And there's an added one onto that there this year. It's in relation to protein being fed to animals. The first one is the default one, which is the same as what you had last year. You had the maximum 15% protein to be fed during the summer, which was mid-April to the end of September. But the other ones that are there, it lessens the amount of nitrogen attaching to each cow, but be careful, there are different levels. It's between 14 and 15%, 13 and 14%, and under 13. But they are not for the summer, it's actually the whole year. So your average feed for the whole year has to be under those percentages. So it's just slightly different than last year, but again, that's an April 19th deadline. And the third one that's there, it's the one that is only out there lately. It's the one that is of benefit to dairy farmers. Last year, there was one similar to it where if you did rear the calves and weigh them, you got €20 for 50 calves. This year, that one has been changed, and it's now called the CAP Strategic Plan Beef Welfare Scheme. And the deadline for that is the 15th of May. I'd encourage dairy farmers to apply for it because it's the one. It's literally once the calves are just born and your herd, there's no weighing, there's nothing in that regard with it. The only thing you need, all right, is that the bulls used for the beef, it's just beef only, that there were 3, 4 or 5 star for dairy beef index or 3, 4, 5 star for beef sub-index. So it's a case of it. Will be paid on 50 calves at €20 a piece, or there'll be more if you're in a partnership. But it's just the one that literally by applying for it, the calves you've already registered will qualify for it if they satisfy the scheme. You've nothing else to do. It'll be paid next March 2025. It'll be the first payment. But that's there, and the deadline for that is May 15th. So it's just people will be finding out more about in the next few weeks, but just is it a change from last year, so a lot more dairy farmers will qualify for that beef welfare scheme this year.
Very important reminders. Many people will be aware of those deadlines, but it might have slipped just to the back of their mind. There's so much consternation, anxiety, and I suppose mental pressure with the weather conditions. People might lose track of these very important dates, although we understand inspection of farms and other official activities will ease off in recognition of this weather crisis. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Fergal O'Mahony, Discussion Group Facilitator, Chagask Dairy Gold Joint Programme Advisory Office, Chagask, Moor Park, near Fermoy, County Cork. Fergal, thank you very much indeed. Thanks a million.
Thanks for having me, John.
You're very welcome. And that's the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme for now. I'm John O'Connor. Thanks to everyone who took part in the programme. Barry O'Mahony, Head of News, 96FM and C103. Mairead Tuig, creator of the regular Farm Talk podcast. And of course, Hugh the Lister for tuning in. The Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, 7am to 8am Saturday mornings and 10pm to 11pm on Wednesday evenings. Thanks for listening.
Farm Talk on C103 with Dairy Gold. Choose Gold Performance Pack. Includes biotin, ESAC and protected minerals to reduce lameness, boost milk solids and fertility.